If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is True Crime Psychology and Personality, where we discuss the pathology behind some of the most horrific crimes and those who committed them from a scientifically informed perspective.
I'm Dr. Todd Grande. I have a PhD in counselor education and supervision, and I'm a licensed professional counselor of mental health. Dr. Todd Grande, that's my YouTube channel.
Today's question is, can I analyze the sentencing of the disgraced social media influencer, Ruby Frank? First, I'll look at the background of this case, including the timeline of the crime, move to a summary of Ruby's statement at sentencing, then offer my analysis. Ruby Frank was born in 1982 and lived in Springville, Utah. She married a man named Kevin, and they had six children. In 2015, Ruby started a family vlogging channel on YouTube titled Eight Passengers, which became extremely successful, accumulating over 1 billion views. Despite this success, Ruby gave up on the channel. She would later explain this odd behavior by implying that she needed to abandon the channel to save her children. Ruby became business partners with a licensed mental health counselor named Jody Hildebrandt, who ran a mental health advice company called Connections. On August 30, 2023, Ruby and Jody were arrested after Ruby's malnourished 12-year-old son climbed out of a window in Jody's residence in Ivins, Utah, and ran to a neighbor's house. He was looking for food and water. The police were notified and found Ruby's 10-year-old daughter in Jody's residence, also suffering from malnutrition. The victims were taken to the hospital and treated. Ruby and Jody were charged with six counts of second-degree felony aggravated child abuse. Each count carries a sentence from 1 to 15 years in prison. The state agreed to dismiss two of the six counts against Ruby if she pleaded guilty to four of the counts. Ruby admitted that she intentionally and knowingly inflicted and allowed another adult to inflict serious injuries on her son and daughter. As a form of punishment, Ruby denied her son food, water, and any type of entertainment. In addition, he was forced to engage in physically difficult tasks. Ruby's daughter received similar punishments. After her son tried to escape, he was restrained with handcuffs and sustained injuries. At times, Ruby kicked him while wearing boots, held his head underwater, and cut off his oxygen by placing her hands over his mouth and nose. Ruby pleaded guilty to four counts on December 18, 2023. On February 20, 2024, she was sentenced to 1 to 15 years in prison for each of the four counts to be served consecutively. Jody Hildebrandt received the exact same sentence after pleading guilty. The math works out to a sentence of between 4 and 60 years, but that's not actually the range of prison time. Ruby and Jody will be eligible for parole in about 3 years and 4 months, and the maximum they can serve is 30 years. Some people wonder why the maximum is 30 when 4 times 15 is 60. That's because in the state of Utah, the maximum that a prisoner can serve when receiving consecutive sentences is 30 years, unless they were convicted of an offense that authorizes the death penalty or life in prison, or they commit additional offenses after sentencing. I would be surprised if Ruby and Jody served much more than the minimum. The Utah Board of Pardons and Parole will ultimately decide their length of stay. It will largely depend on how well the women behave, and so far, they don't appear to be causing too much trouble. Ruby made a statement at sentencing. Here is a summary of that statement. Much of this is paraphrased. Ruby started off by saying that she was not making the statement in order to change the sentence that was stipulated by the plea agreement. She wasn't looking for the judge to cut her a break, which is a good thing because that wasn't likely. Ruby said, quote, "I take full accountability for my choices, and it is my preference that I will serve a prison sentence," unquote. Ruby talked about how she accepted counseling advice for the past 4 years that led her into a dark delusion. She isolated from people and had a distorted version of reality. Ruby was led to believe the world was evil and filled with people who were deceptive, manipulative, and refused to protect children. She made a decision to become paranoid, and that resulted in her criminal behavior. Ruby then thanked several different people involved in her case. She thanked the police officers for saving her children. She specifically thanked one detective for handcuffing her, because that's the moment Ruby gained her freedom. Ruby thanked the hospital staff, religious figures, the prosecutor's office, her attorney, the judge, and her family. When talking about her husband, Kevin, Ruby proclaimed that he was the love of her life, and she was sorry to leave him before they finished what they both started together. Referencing her children, Ruby went into an analogy where she was a mama duck who waddled her little chicks to safety. She was trapped in a deep undercurrent that pulled them into danger. At the end of expressing her gratitude for some of the people, Ruby made dramatic statements with a reversal. For example, she said things like, "You are not the controlling ones I was," or "You wanted to help, but I pushed you away." Ruby said that she wanted to stand in God's court someday, spotless and confident, and that standing before the judge was necessary to accomplish that goal. She was willing to serve as long as she needed to in prison to unravel all her false beliefs, and understood this would take time. Ruby concluded by saying, quote, "I'm committed to continuing my learning until all of my toxic layers are shed, and I am ready to re-enter as a contributing member of our beautiful society," unquote.
Hi, I'm Matt Harris. Seton Tucker and I host the podcast Impact of Influence, which for 2 years covered in depth Alec Murdoch, who was eventually convicted in 2023 of murdering his wife Maggie and son Paul. That story continues to evolve, and we will cover that. Plus, we will tell you stories of other true crime events that have happened in the South. Please join us on Impact of Influence. And give us a follow on the Impact of Influence Facebook page.
Science! 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 Hello, podcast fans. Want to get weird with us? Come check out the Mad Scientist Podcast. We are a weekly show that looks at the history, philosophy, and hard facts behind your biggest paranormal questions.
Did the government really pay for a psychic spy program?
Yes!
Is it true that surgery got its start in grave robbing?
Yes!
Can a roller coaster really kill you?
Legally, we can't say so for sure, but sometimes, yes! Join myself, Chris Cogswell, and my co-host, Marie Mayhew, as we examine the science, philosophy, and history behind the strange and unusual. All to discover what's possible and plausible versus what's, well, just made up. Check us out wherever you find your favorite podcasts. The Mad Scientist Podcast.
Now moving to my analysis. Here are my thoughts on a few areas that stood out to me in this case. Item number one. What did Ruby do well in her statement? I question the sincerity of her apology, but were there areas of her statement that helped her? It seems clear that Ruby carefully wrote her apology. Technically speaking, I think Ruby probably helped herself with the apology in a few different ways. For example, she accepted responsibility, thanked people who stopped her criminal behavior, didn't spend a lot of time blaming anyone but herself, and was happy to go to prison. Ruby's message ended with her acknowledging that she had a lot of work to do in order not to be dangerous. People convicted of crimes often go astray while giving statements at sentencing, but Ruby avoided many of the classic pitfalls, at least on the surface. Item number two, Ruby's discussion about mental health during her statement was curious. She was trying to balance two concepts, ownership and mental health symptoms. She made references to delusions, paranoia, isolation, and bad counseling advice, but never explicitly stated that she committed her crimes due to some type of mental illness. I think it is reasonable to believe that Ruby was never delusional. It's more likely that her crimes were caused by narcissistic traits. The state argued that Ruby believed Jody was talking to God, therefore she believed what Jody told her was coming from God. It's almost like Ruby was in kind of a cult with Jody as the leader. It was Ruby's own sense of entitlement, grandiosity, arrogance, and belief that she was special, which led her down this path. Ruby was so incredible and amazing that a messenger of God was talking directly to her and giving her commands. Many people fall for cults and dynamics associated with them. What's troubling with Ruby is that she involved her children. Usually, when people are vulnerable to cult leaders, they still have safeties built in. There are behaviors they simply will not engage in, no matter what they are told. Ruby, on the other hand, was willing to commit serious crimes against those she was supposed to be protecting. She tried to turn this into a positive by suggesting that her willingness to sacrifice everything for her children was manipulated into something ugly, but that is an overly generous self-assessment. Item number 3. In her apology, Ruby avoided language that directly described her crimes. It's like she tried to soften the bad behavior by using a creative and cartoonish portrayal. For example, she imagined herself as a mama duck trying to protect little chicks. Ruby is trying to get people to forget the true horror of her crimes. She wants people to think about what she did in general terms and not ponder on the details. Item number 4. Ruby could not resist trying to take control of the criminal proceedings against her. She explained how it was her preference to go to prison, even though a choice was never presented to her. She would have been convicted at trial and ended up in the same place. It's almost like Ruby was saying, "You're not putting me in prison, I'm putting myself in prison." This reminds me of when an employee gets fired and they say, "You can't fire me because I quit." Item number 5. Ruby was a veritable fountain of gratitude. She thanked everybody. "Thank you for handcuffing me. Thank you for prosecuting me. Thank you for sending me to prison for years." She wanted everyone to know how great they were for recognizing how she was a plague to society. Even someone with true remorse would probably not be so grateful to experience a magical prison journey. Ruby was doing such a good job of acting with her endless thank yous. It reminded me of best actor speeches at the Academy Awards. Item number 6. Ruby wants people to believe that she is thrilled to go to prison, like it is necessary to cause change in her. I would be very surprised if Ruby had a level of insight to believe that statement. Furthermore, she will probably not feel that way after suffering in prison for years. It's a horrible place, which will only become a little bit more frightening through Ruby's introduction. The whole idea of prison from Ruby's perspective is to discover what made her adopt false beliefs. If the cause was really encountering a woman with dominant characteristics, namely Jody, then prison is probably not going to be ideal for avoiding that problem. I think the main role that prison serves in this case is to keep Ruby away from society, not to transform her personality and beliefs. Realistically, these may never change, but if they did, it would take years. Unfortunately, prisons do not usually have the staff available to appropriately address mental health or personality issues. Item number 7. What does justice look like in this case? Just because Ruby was articulate and delivered a reasonably effective apology at the surface level does not take away from the severity of her offenses. Ruby demonstrated that she could journey to a dark place quickly and that she is dangerously gullible. She literally believed that Jody was communicating messages from God to her, but did not understand how it was important to protect her children. I think she should serve a minimum of 15 years, assuming that she can demonstrate significant insight into her own behavior. If she cannot, then 25 years would be more appropriate. Now moving to my final thoughts. Some people have noted that Ruby seemed genuinely remorseful in her statement. This is certainly possible. But even if she was, here's the problem. The kind of transformation that Ruby would need to reduce self-centeredness, grandiosity, arrogance, and a sense of entitlement is not something that can happen overnight. Ruby probably appears remorseful because she knows that makes sense based on her situation. It's a good tactical move, but that does not automatically mean she possesses insight into her own behavior. If Ruby truly understood her own nature and the destructiveness of her actions, she would be devastated inside. Her narcissistic traits probably protect her from feeling this pain, but the pain will be necessary to recover. Without it, Ruby will simply go around in circles, behaving as if she has changed without experiencing meaningful and lasting improvements. Ruby was upset for being deceived into believing the world was evil, but will now spend years in prison trying to deceive herself into believing she was good.
D. This has been True Crime Psychology and Personality from Ars Longa Media. This content is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Ars Longa, Vita Brevis.
True terrors of horror, bizarre happenings, unexplainable events. On our podcast, Disturbed, terror takes center stage. Each episode is a journey into the darkest corners of human existence, delving into bone-chilling tales of kidnappings, serial killers, maniacs, and the very essence of your worst nightmares coming to life on this weekly true horror show. Disturbed is not for the faint of heart. It's an exploration of real, unadulterated horror sourced from everyday people. Each episode is a descent into the macabre, where we narrate stories that will leave you on the edge of your seat and crawling in your skin. We navigate the disturbing narratives that lurk in the shadows, offering a raw and unfiltered listen into the most terrifying aspects of the human experience. Enter at your own risk and let the unsettling tales unfold in the haunting realm of Disturbed. And remember, listeners, stay safe out there.